Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations. It is 4 minutes after the hour. Happy Monday. Can I say Happy Monday? Does that even count today because of daylight savings time? Kind of like coming out of anesthesia. You know something has happened, but all you want to do is go back to sleep. But welcome to your Monday. It is going to take a little bit more to get going because you kind of did lose an hour of sleep. But think of that daylight we're going to get at the end of the day. That's going to be so nice. And spring is ahead from what I've been told. I think it's going to be in the 40s in the Twin Cities area of Minneapolis/St. Paul, but around the upper Midwest, I think spring is kind of here, so that's a good thing. We have a great show today. My friend and colleague from prestigious West Des Moines, the great state of Iowa, Patrick Albanese, will be with me in just a minute. We're going to chat with him, and then Professor Dr. Adam Carrington will be with us as well in the first hour. So that is how we're going to start our day. Today is Monday, March 12th. It's the 71st day of the year. There are 294 days left. And on this day in 1894, the first bottles of Coca-Cola were sold. I think there was more in those bottles than just water and sugar and some flavoring. I think there was some actual narcotics in those. Very popular product back then. Anyway, we'll take a short break and then bring Patrick on. So glad you're with me this morning. Happy Monday.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could
while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
Good morning. It's 7 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here with what feels like an hour earlier to you. I'm here either to delight you or annoy you. Either way, I'm here to serve you. And I have on my studio line Patrick Albanese, my friend and colleague from prestigious West Des Moines, the great state of Iowa. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. Yeah, I was trying to it's spring break week for my kids. And so my son the other day said, well, won't I be going to school an hour earlier next week? I said, yeah, the whole thing's confusing. No, you won't. I mean, it'll be the right time. It's like all of the downside of jet lag without the benefit of getting to go to a nice exotic place.
It seems like that would be a nice thing for adults when they change it to an hour earlier, that we get a week off of vacation just to adjust, like your kids.
Yeah. Again, it is
like fair.
It
seems only fair. Well,
now, if you're like me, and of course I know I am, but I actually don't mind moving the clocks ahead an hour because it creates the illusion that I slept in. You know what I'm talking about. You know, I'm one of those people that wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So today I had the distinct pleasure of, since my internal clock still is waking me up at 3 o'clock, but I look at the clock and go, look at me, 4 a.m. I'm a sleeper.
That's so sad.
It put me under a tight timeline because my son lost a tooth. What is the going rate for the tooth fairy these days?
I would think $5.
Really?
Yeah.
I still have a few minutes before he gets up to snag that C note out of there. So that would be pretty high.
That would be a little high. Yeah, that would be. I would say at the break, go swap that out.
How many teeth do kids lose anyway?
I don't know. I think all of them. No, wait. Yeah, I think all of them. How many?
It's taken a few days to do the actual the prisoner exchange with the tooth and the money, because my son, you never know where he's going to sleep. You know, he sometimes ends up, he's on the couch or, you know, he's somewhere. And but he doesn't often, like, you're going, where's the tooth? Am I allowed to put the money there and not take the tooth? Because I can't locate the tooth. And the other day, I he's like, yeah, the tooth fairy didn't show up. I go, well, where was the tooth? He said, well, I hit it. Why would you hide the tooth? from the Tooth Fairy. I guess he just wanted to present her with a challenge. And I said, you know, okay, I guess it's time for us to have that talk, son. I'm going to tell you the truth about the Tooth Fairy. She has no sense of humor. So you got, just put that thing where it can be easily found, would you? Just for her sake, you know, leave me out of this. I'm just giving you some advice from a guy who lost 32 teeth at some point in his life. And anyway, $5.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, here's the verse of the day, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. And I'm going to read this out of the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase translation. They say that what is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right. That black is white, and white is black. Bitter is sweet, and sweet is bitter. That sounds like a perfect formula for what we hear in the news today.
Absolutely. They don't report the news. They want to, of course, lecture us on what we should be paying attention to. And then we're told all sorts of things that we say, boy, that doesn't seem true to me. I'm raising one boy and one girl, and they're really different.
Mm-hmm.
But you're telling me that they're not different. By the same token, somebody can, you know, just use the gender as an issue. There's no difference between boys and girls, yet somebody, a boy, can feel like a girl, and they can say, we have to pay attention to that. I go, I don't understand. I'm really confused. If there's no difference, how can you feel one way or the other since they're the same? And there is no explanation. And you go back to Isaiah and say, of course, we were told this was going to happen. Why are we acting so surprised?
Mm-hmm.
I had a girlfriend that was a Christian many years ago when I was more of a new age guy, and she would always quote Isaiah to me.
Really?
And this is what you'd have to, you know, this is the time you have to watch out for. And I was like, you're wrong. No, things are getting better. And then I realized, no, they are actually moving more toward the what's up is down, what's black is white, what's right is wrong phase. And we're supposed to just sit back and go, okay.
And now there's a store that's coming out with genderless Mother's Day cards. Isn't the whole point of Mother's Day celebrating moms who are a very specific gender? Their cards are calling – the cards say Happy You Day.
Maybe on the planet you were born, but I don't know. It's I got a feeling that if I were to – you and I tend to put things through our personal filters, as do most people. And you'd say, okay, how would my mom react to happy you, you know, whatever you choose to be?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Does that just make me old school? You know, again, it's one of those things we talk about this a lot. We have to be very careful as the language gets twisted that we don't – just accept the terminology that, for lack of better, you know, the left uses when they say, oh, no, it's not Mother's Day, you know, where your birth certificates will now, instead of saying mother and father, it'll be parent one, parent number two, parent mm-hmm. number six.
Mm-hmm.
And on one hand, you go, well, I guess that's harmless. I don't know. But you say, well, no, it's seeding some ground that you're basically saying there is no mother and father, which is, as I understand it, what it still takes to make one of these little children.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always that creeping thing, you know, they just come, let's grab a little bit more. And it almost seems like, well, what's the harm in having a genderless Mother's Day card? But maybe we shouldn't just so easily give up these things and say, well, you know what? I'm not going to.
Yeah. Packard, how important is language? I mean, the progressives will say that if you object to their ideas, you're backwards.
Right. Isn't that an amazing way of sort of browbeating you into accepting their terminology? And then you realize that it is this very, very slow. Bernard Nathanson, who was he became very pro-life later in life, but he was the one who sort of helped Roe v. Wade get passed. And they used a lot of phony statistics. But they created the back alley abortion, you know, lie. But the terminology was the most important thing. You know, when they said, you know, pro-choice, who would want to take away somebody's ability to choose what's right for them? And a lot of that abortion battle, the lines have been drawn strictly along language, it seems, anymore.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the progressive side refuses to allow the pro-life side to be called pro-life. They say, no, you're the anti-choice side. And so that just sounds, why, archaic. How dare you? not allow somebody a choice. Choice is the simple, you know. And we're always playing these language battles. I think on the religious side, we weren't really aware that we were fighting a battle along the language front. I know you have Rebecca. She's probably around the room somewhere there.
Oh, yeah. She's right to my right.
Within a stone's throw.
Yes.
Well, hopefully you don't have any stones.
She's got a little pile of smooth stones there.
You don't.
Yeah,
I'm nervous. She throws them at you. That makes sense. That would explain the noise that I hear every now and then with the sudden exhalation of breath. I know she loves language, and I'm sure that if she's not nodding her head right now, well, then she's just a denier. No, I'm sure she's nodding her head that, yeah, the language is really important, and we give up ground on language sometimes without even knowing that what we've actually done is we've given up ground on the ultimate fight over what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah, good point.
You can call me Dr. Patrick now.
I will. Dr. Patrick, and then Dr. Adam Carrington's next. So what a show we've got going this morning. It's 16 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break, and when we return, fake Dr. Albanese will be back. Good morning. It's 18 minutes after the hour. Fake Dr. Patrick Albanese is on our studio line, my friend and colleague from prestigious West Des Moines. Patrick, here's a couple of quick birthdays for you. Agent 99 is 85.
Wow.
Yeah. Remember her from Get Smart?
Wait a minute.
Barbara Feldon.
Yes.
Feldon. And singer James
her
Taylor.
Partner was 86.
Pardon?
Which, of course. Yeah. Well, because remember, he was Agent 86.
That's true.
She was 90, so she's 85. She used to team up with Agent 80. That's all confusing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And singer James Taylor is 70.
You know what's you know how sometimes you hear an age and you say, "Wow, I had no idea that person was, you know, that age."
Mm-hmm.
But James Taylor, oh yeah, that seems about right.
Yeah, he's been around forever.
Yeah,
and
I
still
mean,
singing beautifully.
I saw a James. This is strange. I saw, through my YouTube timeline, I see there's a James Taylor video because I've been trying to learn to play a musical instrument, the shoehorn. It's not easy. Very tough to read the footnotes, so to speak. But anyway,
I'm not laughing at that.
You should not laugh at that. Nobody should laugh
at that.
That
would be validating that.
It would be validating it. I know. It was a cheap shot. A James Taylor video comes up, and I go, "Oh wow, here's James Taylor. Give me some musical instruction." It was actually how to do your fingernails to play the guitar. And I watched it, and it was really quite intriguing to watch James Taylor, who I guess just made this video. So here's how he does. He personally does his own fingernails. I guess he can't afford to go to a salon. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
but, everybody's hasn't had a hit in a while.
Everybody's watching their budget nowadays.
Yeah.
All right. Let's return to the gender issue, only because we're talking about that a little bit more today, I believe. And what could you speculate is the end game of the left with the gender issue?
You know, it's one of a couple of things. I don't know if they really care about these fractional groups of people that they claim to care about. You know, they seem to discard groups, you know, pretty quickly and move on to the next group. The gender issue, for instance, which they have fully embraced, is harming a lot of women. It's destroying women's sports. I know we've talked about that, where you have these transgendered wrestlers and, you know, it's going to creep into every other sport. And you say, well, these, you know, transgendered athletes are winning all the trophies. And some of these women that have devoted their lives to an athletic pursuit or maybe an athletic scholarship are not going to get one because of that. And you think, okay. But that used to be the left's groups was women, and now they're saying, well, no, this one's more important. And I think it's just to create more disarray, more fractionalization, get people fighting all the time. Either that or they really do believe that somehow or another by working with every little tiny issue in the world, they can create a perfect utopian society. And one of the great things that was that I learned by embracing Christianity is I go, oh, that's right. That's not our – we can't do it. We just can't accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So they may be trying to create a world where there's no trade-offs?
Yeah, no downside to any choices, whatever you want, and it'll all work perfectly together. And, I think anybody that's walked into a kindergarten classroom realizes that human beings aren't necessarily good at that. But I do think Thomas Sowell talked about this. He had a book on the – I think it was called The Vision of the Anointed, where they put themselves as, well, I'm one of the smart ones. And we know people that say, I'm a smart one. I should be making the decisions for people. And they think if we just tweak the pieces on the chessboard just a little bit, it will all work perfectly. It was some of the ideas behind socialism and communism that, yep, this will work great.
Mm-hmm.
If we just get people to do everything we say – it will be a perfect utopia. And we're told in the Bible, it's like, yeah, leave that to God. He'll take care of it. Meantime, you got problems where you are, and you're going to have to work with those.
Mm-hmm. When I think of Elizabeth Warren just being back in the news because she was challenged to take a DNA test just to solve once and for all that she does have a heritage.
Yes.
And she said, no, I'm not going to do that because – this was a story told by my mom and dad, and I'm going to believe it. And you know, I guess if it's a shell of nuts, it would be, I want to believe this even if it's not true.
Right. But, you know, eventually even Luke Skywalker went to Yoda and said, is it really true that Darth Vader's my dad? I'd like to know. And I think it went to Obi-Wan. I don't know. I'm messing up my Star Wars. But they eventually said, you should probably know the truth about your heritage. Yeah. Yeah, that part's true. It's like, oh, great. I wish I would have known that before. And eventually they let him know that Princess Leia – that's a spoiler alert, by the way, for those who for nearly 40 years have yet to see the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Princess Leia is his sister.
You know, she just, don't tell me that.
You just got the DVDs, didn't you?
I did.
I did. Yeah. Sorry. It's like you don't – so you don't really want to know. And she told a news story the other day that, supposedly when her dad wanted to marry her mom, there was some, you know, problem with the family saying, oh, no. I think he has some Native American heritage and we don't want any of that mixing with our family blood. And so I thought, well, wasn't that convenient where she gets to – yet again, offer up a piece of evidence that she is actually part Native American, but she also gets to throw the racism and the hatred. And that's like, so look at this, folks. I've already been through the ringer on this. You know, my mom suffered, almost didn't get to marry the man she loved. It might have been her mother that was the Native American. Either way, the other side of the family was saying, oh, no, you can't possibly bring some of that into this family. So it becomes a topic that's off limits. She doesn't want to know the truth. She wants to cling to this, and that just tells me it's probably a lie. I don't know.
You know, you're a guy that is willing to be influenced, aren't you? I mean, I would think that would be me as well. I would want to be a person willing to be influenced. If you brought me evidence to the contrary of something, yeah. I would say, oh, let me look at that evidence. Let me examine it. And if it turns out to be true, I would like to change my thinking on that. Doesn't that seem reasonable?
It seems reasonable. I mean, as far as me being a person who wants to be influenced, you're going to have to convince me of that.
I get it. I will work my hardest.
Yeah. But I think that we do hold on to certain things. And I, you know, I don't know whether she's running for president or not. I don't trust what people say. But even if she isn't, her whole life at this point in time, she built her career. She makes, I think, $350,000 to teach a single class at Harvard. Is that where she teaches?
Yeah.
One of the prestigious Ivy League schools. And she got the job based on her Native American heritage. So it all comes crumbling down, although, you know, Bill Ayers, who worked with the Weather Underground, he used to bomb people. This guy teaches at a college. That doesn't really act as a disqualifier when it comes to the progressive left. They're like, oh, you tried to bomb people. Excellent. You are on tenure track.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would actually harm her career, but I think it would be a lot of egg on the face.
Mm-hmm. And just as we go back to this verse out of Isaiah about, you know, what is white is black and black is white. And I'm just thinking, as the midterm elections are coming upon us, do we have any trust or faith in the mainstream media going back to the 2016 election where they said 97% chance Hillary will win?
Right. And I think, you know, there's that statistic where everybody kind of throws the, it's about a 40% chance of something happening, meaning Hey, no matter what happens, I don't have egg on my face.
You're
again.
Covered.
To use. Yeah, that's two egg on the face references I made, which right. when you have high cheekbones, it means you're Cherokee.
Right.
but, yeah, you know, it's funny how I think we – I don't know if the media was outright lying when it came to that 97% statistic, if they were just hopeful. I'm mm-hmm. not sure.
Yeah,
but
not either.
They were wrong.
yeah. Patrick, thanks so much for being on the show. As always, look forward to our next conversation. Have a great day. It's 27 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and go to Ken Davis for a few more laughs.
Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna work out fine if you only will. Do as I say.
Da-da-da-da. Are gonna clear up, put on a happy face.
Good morning, it's half past the hour. Happy Monday. Even though you have a little less sleep in the tank, go out and make it a great day. We're going to take a little break for news, and then Adam Carrington with an earned PhD will be with us in about 9 minutes.
It's not your style. You look so good that you'll be glad you decided to smile.
Hello, it's 25 minutes till the top of the hour. We're going to have Dr. Adam Carrington in just a few minutes. But before that, Dr. Gary Chapman, who, as you know, is a pastor and a speaker and a best-selling author. He talks about how unhealthy patterns can develop involving anger and that those patterns need to be broken as soon as possible.
It's like any pattern, whether it's a positive or a negative pattern. The more you do it, the more it becomes who you are. And if you simply follow your emotions. You know, you get angry and then you either lash out in harsh words or you get physical. You throw things. You push people. Then that pattern will get developed in you. That's why I say to young couples, for example, if after you get married, your spouse in anger hits you or shoves you or just lashes out in anger with you, the earlier you can say to them, you know, honey, I love you very much, but I cannot accept that kind of behavior. We have got to get help. You're either going with me to a counselor or I'm going by myself because I cannot live with that. You just let it be known that this is not appropriate behavior because that person has just never learned how to handle their anger, and the earliest time to do it in the marriage is the first time it occurs.
That is a very difficult and sensitive subject, but if you want to hear that full interview, go to myfaithradio.com. Type in Dr. Gary Chapman, Managing Anger. We'll take a short break and then bring on our friend Dr. Adam Carrington in just a minute.
Carl Menninger, the famous psychiatrist, wrote a book entitled, Whatever Happened to Sin? Good question, especially in this week before Easter. This is Jim Garlow. Sin. It's a word that's been dropped out of any reference. You certainly don't even hear it from the pulpit, because pastors aren't saying it anymore. Proverbs 20, verse 9 says, who can say I have kept my heart pure? Who can say I am clean without sin? I know we'd rather think in terms of anything but sin. How about making an error, or we call it a failure, or as a shortcoming? You get the picture. Anything but sin, right? Let's start calling it what it is. The good news is Paul's declaration in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, what I say is true, and you should fully accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Go to jimgarlow.com. There's much more.
It is 22 minutes until the top of the hour, and today is National Take Yourself to Work Again Day. I just made that up. All right, I've got Dr. Adam Carrington on the line. Adam, good morning.
Good morning, and I have taken myself to work despite my own desires, actually.
It's just a little bit earlier this morning, isn't it?
Yes, I can, and you, it's strange how you can feel it even a couple days later. It shows me how routinized I become in the time in between.
Yeah. Now, before we get into some of the questions I have for you, I want to carry on a conversation I had with my previous guest, and we were talking about some of the goals of the left. And I think the goal for the left is not inclusiveness, but it's exclusiveness. I mean, if you don't agree, you're exiled. You're othered, and you're not welcome in society. So
yeah, and I think – oh, I'm sorry.
No, no, continue.
Yeah, I think I would agree, and I think it really – it shows on one hand sort of how all-dominating that ideology is, how much it does demand a complete, not just a protection by law, but complete acquiescence through society, through entertainment, through industry. And I think one thing it disproves is this idea that I think relativism has taken over. That, you know, in many ways, parts of the left arose by saying, by questioning moral truth, by questioning the grounds of law. But what's happened is the more that they have assumed power, the more that they have imposed their own morality or their own views, instead of just saying we're going to live and let live.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's very interesting that even they have been unable to avoid some sort of grounded moral truth. It's just their belief of what that moral truth is has become radically different from the history of Western civilization.
Well, we're talking, too, about kind of gender-neutral Mother's Day cards. So the cards say, Happy You Day. And I thought, huh, it doesn't seem that they care about possibly some fringe group of non-female mothers. They use it almost as a weapon to make you kind of shut up. Sounds like it's just hijacking language, which I don't like.
Yeah, well, and you know, there's an old discussion that Thucydides, way back talking about the Peloponnesian War in the 5th century BC, talked about one society that under siege from an outside power was falling apart, and he says part of that falling apart was words began to lose their meanings, and he starts listing off words that changed, and some of them had to do with the biology of human beings. With prudence became cowardice, bravery became stupidity, and that one way that things like this can get so bad is when language itself becomes a weapon instead of a means of communication.
I knew I shouldn't have grappled with you, Adam, because when you pull out the Peloponnesian War, you've left me in the dust.
Well,
it's
pretty. if you read it though, you would see that human beings haven't changed.
Okay.
Circumstances have changed, but human beings are quite capable of good at times. But when a society really disintegrates, it can look pretty familiar.
Mm-hmm. All right. President Trump is headed to Beverly Hills for a $250,000 a plate fundraiser, or what most people that live there just call lunch.
Right. and this is, I mean, still part of the game politically, that even though he has set himself up as a common man of the people,
mm-hmm.
Given the way media still runs, given these other things, he's still going to have to do so and do these kinds of things. And he does have major money backers to go around. I mean, he's got the Mercers, for example, that have been very supportive of him, that also own Breitbart,
mm-hmm.
and others. So, you know, yes, he's got a populist credibility that he's built up, but that doesn't change that he's also an old Manhattanite as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about his tariffs on steel and aluminum. I found this conversation to be very interesting. We started it, obviously, last week. But there's a bigger battle, isn't there, going on between both sides of this issue? Can you talk about some of the pros and cons, or fors and against?
Yeah, and I think the bigger issue is that there's been a long time consensus for Republicans that free trade is a good thing, that it's part of being free market, pro-capitalism, and that it's good for all involved. That has been challenged by President Trump. It's been challenged by the new, those who are his core supporters. And I think part of what it comes down to is, I think, two questions. One, to what degree has the hollowing out of America's industry, or the hollowing out of the employment of it, I should say, been due to automation and just changes in the economy that are unstoppable? Basically, you know, we no longer have a horse and buggy economy. You know, is it that kind of change? On the other hand, there is the claim from Trump people that a lot of that some of this or a lot of this comes from conscious policy. That there is a worry that if we don't have manufacturing, if we don't protect these sorts of things, that American workers are hurt, and American workers that shouldn't have to transition to other kinds of jobs, and that we put ourselves at risk by not having those kind of production in country if we ever have a war or things along those lines. So there's just two very, I think, genuine, I don't think this is playing politics, they're two very genuinely different views of what would make America a stronger, better, more prosperous country.
Mm-hmm. Is President Trump just doing some artful negotiating when it comes to these tariffs? Is he, you know, he's given Mexico and Canada an exempt? Is this all part of the strategy regarding NAFTA, or what is this all about? What is his strategy? What's his long game?
I think that, I'll say one thing. President Trump has changed his views on a number of things over the years. This is one he has not. He has always been, for decades, in support of more protective tariffs. I think the exemption of Mexico and Canada is an attempt to have a bargaining chip for NAFTA. They're okay. Trying to renegotiate, and I think the idea is if you play ball with us, we'll keep this going. As far as the long game with, say, Europe, that's a little harder to figure out. I think he's less thinking about Europe when he puts the tariffs on them, and more, I think, thinking about domestic politics. You know, there's a state election in Pennsylvania tomorrow, and it's in very strong country for the president last election, and I think.
Yes.
He's trying to show that manufacturing base that he's supporting them. So there's a domestic and a foreign international element to this as well.
Adam, let me take a little break. When I come back, I've got some burning questions. One of them that I want to discuss before our time is up, the idea that President Trump is going to sit down with Kim Jong-un somewhere. I wonder where that's going to be and if that's going to happen. It is 14 minutes until the top of the hour. If you feel a little extra tired this morning, there's a good reason. Be back in a minute. All right, it's 12 minutes till the top of the hour. Speaking to Dr. Adam Carrington from Hillsdale College. Adam, with tariffs still on the top of the agenda, and Gary Cohn, the departure of Gary Cohn from Donald Trump's advisory team. Wall Street's feeling a little shaky now, or what exactly is the impact of that on policymaking?
Yeah, well, I'd say on one hand, Wall Street doesn't like instability, and a departure of a major economic advisor is always going to make them nervous. But this one in particular, because the perception was that Gary Cohn was a big supporter of free trade within the administration, that he was a moderating influence on President Trump's own beliefs on that, and the worry among Wall Street, who is firmly pro free trade, is that now he will be much more aggressive in picking trade wars, in pushing the sort of economic policy that. Basically, there's almost unanimity among Wall Streeters is damaging, dangerous, and discredited, and so that's where I think that there's significant nervousness on Wall Street because of that.
Mm-hmm. Adam, when Donald Trump was campaigning, I heard him say over and over how bad the trade deals were, and just how horrible everything was when it came to trade. What is he doing differently that's making him happy or making the country better?
What he believes he's doing that is improving the situation is that he believes that that previous deals have allowed products from other countries to come into the country so cheaply that that American workers can't compete, and that you would have to either you would have to raise the prices of those goods or not pay workers a sort of fair, reasonable living wage. And so his idea is that where industries are struggling, especially blue-collar industries, there should be more of an attempt to force trade deals that encourage production and building in the United States, even if it costs more. And I think this is where a lot of trade policy, he claims, has been made in the interest of the consumer, the person buying products in the United States. He wants more trade policies that help the producer, the worker. The question is, will the worker win out in the end? In other words, will the extra money or job placement that he gets by protection be offset by jobs lost or costs being higher on the cost side? Because the same people that are working in factories then go buy products that may themselves now cost more. And that's really part of the big economic debate. Is that really a net gain for American workers? A lot of free market economists say no. President Trump thinks that thinking has been what's caused a lot of the problems in the heartland.
Adam, are you surprised that President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un might go ahead and meet in person?
Yes. I mean, on one hand, no sitting president has met with a North Korean leader. I was reading this, you know, and an article I read mentioned that Jimmy Carter had met with a previous one, but he met as an ex-president, as a former president.
Okay.
So that's pretty extraordinary. And, you know, given that the president's time is precious, given that meeting with someone is symbolically really important, I think the fact that this might happen is a pretty important, and I would say risky step. I mean, it could pay off in showing respect to North Korea. At the same time, it could embolden North Korea to dig in if they believe they're getting this respect without necessarily giving up concessions. That's one of the debates. What have they? There's some debate right now in the media. What did North Korea agree to do in order to meet here? And there's some debating PR releases from the administration and from North Korea as to what each side agreed to do going in.
Adam, where should these two leaders meet? What would be wise?
I would say a Chili's in Texas.
Okay.
Might be good. No,
Amarillo?
Yes.
Or Austin, because they're very different places.
That is. I lived in Texas for a few years. Austin, I'd probably say Austin. It's just weird enough to house that meeting. But no. I mean, in all seriousness.
You don't have to be serious, Adam.
Well. My wife tells me I'm better at that than trying to joke. So I think that it should be at a site where the president retains sort of the power that the United States does and should have leverage-wise in this kind of situation. So probably it will happen in South Korea. I think that would be better than North Korea. I think on sort of friendly allied ground would make the most sense. And that, again, I think the president has to be careful, and his advisors need to be careful to say that maybe this is maybe a sign of respect, but it's not a sign that we're going to be talking necessarily on equal terms. I think this is something where American power needs to be used for good, and I guess what's sometimes called soft power, to say this, you know, these things, there needs to be real concessions so that this regime isn't so oppressive to its people and so dangerous to the rest of the world. Now, has that happened yet? And all the other presidents have struggled to do it. If President Trump's able to pull it off, it would be quite an accomplishment that others haven't been able to.
Mm-hmm. Adam, you do so much for us. What can we do for you? What can our listeners do?
You can just continue to be so kind to have me on, and
done.
Yep, and I would say that Just a plug for the college. If any out there are still looking for a college or thinking about college in the future, Hillsdale's a great place because that helps keep me employed. And I know there are probably some great future students or parents of future great students out there. And that's one of the great joys of my life here. So if I can put in that plug, I'd love to do that
too. And Hillsdale also offers some free online education as well, doesn't it? Some courses?
It is. We're putting a lot of our core curriculum, which tries to cover the basics of Western civilization and the study of it, online. We've gotten a lot of stuff up there. A U.S. Constitution class is very popular. I helped with a Supreme Court class. There's classes in literature, history, economics, sciences, you know, all these things where, and they're free. They're really what one thing I think the college wants to, of course, reach the students here on campus, but we also want to help with civic literacy across the country as best we can, and that's one way we try to.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Adam. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great. You all have a great week, too.
All righty. It is 3 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break and wrap up hour one. Thanks to Dr. Adam Carrington for making my hour one so spectacular, and also fake Dr. Patrick Albanese as well, who goes over the headlines over the weekend and we process the news and just have a lot of fun doing it. I think it's a good way to start your Monday, a little on the light side. We've got a great second hour coming up. Lucas Leach, a former Marine who went through PTSD, is going to talk about his experience and a book he's written. And we're excited about talking to him. And then Dr. David Aikman will be with us all in hour two just ahead. Thanks for being with us. Good morning. I know it feels a little earlier than usual today. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.